B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Daf Yud Ches. We're going to start from the beginning of the next perek, perek Oisin Pasin, that starts towards the end of Daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis. Says the Mishnah, Oisin Pasin Lebirois. The first section of this perek is going to be discussing Pasei Birois. Birois, a be'er, is a well. We'll soon see whether there's a difference between a boir and a be'er being a well with a spring with a constant source of water, boir being just a pit with stagnant water in it. But either way, if you had a boir, a be'er, in a Rishus HaRabim, and a be'er itself being that it's 4 tfachim wide, 4 by 4 tfachim wide, and 10 tfachim deep, the be'er has the status of a Rishus HaYochid. The area surrounding the be'er was a Rishus HaRabim. And the people coming to Yerushalayim, the Oilei Regolim, who needed either for themselves to drink, they needed the animals to drink, we'll discuss that later. So the Chachomim made a leniency that seems to go against some of the halachas that we know in carrying on Shabbos, and they made this leniency to allow us to carry the water, to draw the water, to remove the water from the Be'er to the area surrounding the Be'er. Even though carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim is seriously osa, so they had to find some way of easily creating an area called Rishus HaRabim just beyond the Be'er. And the way they did that, even spite of the fact that it was Rishus HaRabim, is with something called Pasin. What are Pasin? Pasin are boards. And normally, an area to be called Rishus HaYochid, it has to be surrounded somewhat with walls. Over here, what they did was, they used boards, pasin, and these pasin, we'll soon see how they worked, that these pasin would encircle the Be'er, and the area within the pasin now has the status of Rishus HaYochid. How did it work? Arba'o diyumdin. The word diyumdin, diyu, in Aramaic is two. The madin, the mudin, is the amudim, is posts. If you have a single corner post that actually comprises two posts, a post in two directions, if you have a right-angled piece of wood, which is similar to a type of a gutter, and you stand it, for example, if on the south eastern corner, you put one of these diyumdin, one of these double posts, which is the post itself is an amma facing in one direction and an amma facing another direction. You have one amma going from north to south, another amma going from west to east, and these two is a single post. You stand it on the south eastern corner, you have a single post with an amma in each direction, and if you put one of these on all four corners, it's so to speak as if you've encircled the entire area with a mechitza, providing that the area between one post and the next is not more than, we'll soon see, it's going to be machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Tana we're learning now, he says you put arba od yumdin. You put four of these posts nirin kashmoina. It looks as if you've got eight posts, because as we explained, each post is, so to speak, two posts. So on every edge, on every side of this area, you've got, so to speak, two posts of an amma each, and the two posts in each corner are connected to create what we call a dyumdin. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Shmoina, you have eight posts, Nirin Kishnei Mosar. How does that work? Rabbi Meir says you need to have eight, you don't have four posts, he says you need eight posts, and then it will look like 12, which means he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that you have four posts, one in each corner, each one being two posts. Besides for that, on every side of this area, you have another post in the middle, a single post. So you're using eight posts, and it looks like 12 because four of them are single posts and four of them are double posts. Arba, four of them are dyumdin, or double posts. Arba pshutin, and four of them are single posts. Goivon, how tall do these posts have to be? As with all mechitzas, asara tvachim, they have to be 10 tvachim high. Verochbon, how wide do each of these posts have to be? Shisha, 6 tvachim, which is 1 amma. Ve'oivyon, how thick do they have to be? Kol shehu, it doesn't make a difference. It can be any thickness. Ubeinehem, how much distance are you allowed to have between one diyumid and the next? And that's again going to be machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. K'meloi shtei revokis shel sholosh sholosh bokor. Rav Meir says you have to be able to have six in two teams. Revokis are a team. Two teams of three oxen each, and they're going to be tied together, as we're going to see in a moment. And if you have two such teams, which means the width of six oxen, that's as wide. That means if you have six oxen simultaneously going through this breach, through this opening, three going in, three going out, that's as much as you're allowed to have in between one post and the next. Divrei Reb Meir, that's Reb Meir's opinion, and that's actually 10 amos. Reb Yehuda Oimer, Reb Yehuda says you're allowed even more than that. He says, shel arba. There were two teams of oxen, each one comprising four oxen, one team going in, one team going out, and they are all standing next to each other, going in and out simultaneously, and that is more than 10 amos, is actually 13 and a third amos. Kshurois, these teams of oxen have to be tied, or is the distance that they are when they are tied, when they're tied, they're even closer to each other than if they're not tied. V'loy mutoris, and not untied. We'll see in the Gemara why we have a double term, kshurois v'loy mutoris. Achas nichneses v'achas yetzes. One team facing in, one team facing out, and that gives you a little bit more leeway, since they're in different directions, it takes up that little bit more space. Mutar lehakriv lebe'er, how close do these diyumdin have to be or allowed to be to the be'er itself? It makes no difference. As long as the area between one post and the next is not more than 10 amas according to Reb Meir and 13 and a third amas according to Reb Yehuda, as long as the gaps are not larger than that, you can position them anywhere you want relative to the be'er. However, however, it must be there's a gap of at least 2 amos, which is the head plus most of the body of the ox, of the animal, space between the edge of the be'er, of the well, and the edge of the, and the inner edge of the, these diyumdin. And that way it can drink from the well, it can drink from a vessel that's standing next to the well, with most of itself, its body, the animal's body, being within this newly created Rishus HaYochid. Mutar laharchik kol shehu, what's the maximum width of this, of the area surrounded by diyumdin, surrounding this be'er? It doesn't matter, kol, as much as you want. Ubilvad sheyar be'pasim, providing that you, the gaps are not larger than 10 amas according to Reb Meir and 13 and a third amma according to Reb Yehuda, and if it is wider, just make sure you add extra pasin pshutim, the basic straight boards in between one and the next, to make sure the gaps are not too big. Reb Yehuda Oimer ad beisosaim. Reb Yehuda says that the maximum area that they allowed you to encircle with a be'er in the middle is the size of beisosaim, which is 100 amas by 50 amas. Omruloi. The Chachomim said to Rabbi Yehuda, "Loi omru beisosaim elo legino ulekarpeif." They only ever said the restriction of beisosaim when you have an area which is not really used; it's not been encircled to be used by normal residential purposes for normal human behavior and human uses. And for example, a gino, a garden, a karpef, or some other very wide area which has not been encircled for residential purposes. However, avalim hoyo dir, oy sahar, oy mukta, oy chotza, if it's a type of a pen, a type of an area where the animals are staying, they are serving people, And we'll see later that the shepherds themselves would sleep in these areas, or if it was a backyard or a courtyard, or any of those which are used for normal, so to speak, residential purposes, then afilu beis chamisha kurim, even if it's an area of 5 kur, afilu beis hasara kurim, even if it's 10 kur, mutar, one is allowed to encircle it. And we'll understand later why Rabbi Yehuda gave this restriction, because Yumdin are not regular walls. Like we saw previously at the end of the previous perek, that when you have a mechitza gerua, a mechitza that's only upright, or mechitza that's only horizontal, it's not a solid mechitza. There were certain restrictions they made with allowing us to use these walls. Here too, Yumdin is a huge leniency, because most of the area of each side is breached. Exactly how it works is very complicated. We're not going to discuss that here. But the Chachomim allowed us to do this, even though it's Porot Merubah La'oymeid. But Rav Yehuda held there were certain restrictions. You can only do it up to Beis Hosayim. Umuta leharchik kol shehu, ubilvad sheyar bepasim. And again, the Mishnah is saying that it doesn't matter how wide you make it, just make, based on the restrictions we just saw now, but make sure that the any one gap is not more than 10 amas according to Rav Meir, and not more than 13 1/3 according to Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Leima masnisen deloy kechananya. Can we assume that our Mishnah is not like Chananya? Detanya, oisin pasin leboyer. Chananya said that you're allowed to make, you're allowed to use these corner posts, which we call pasim, for a boyer, for a pit, the chavolin l'shayora, and this is the Mishnah that we saw earlier on, and after Zayin Amud Beis, that you're allowed to use a wall of chavolin, which is only horizontal strips, strings, ropes, whatever they are, just horizontal pieces with air spaces in between, and you're allowed to use that just for a shayora, for a caravan, for a group of people who are stranded in an open field on Shabbos and they have no other options. That's the Tanakama in the Brisa. The Chananya Oimer, Chavolin, you can use Chavolim leboir for to be able to encircle a pit. Avaloi Pasin, but you're not allowed to use Pasin since Pasin is Porot Meruba La'oimed. Chananya says you're not allowed to use Pasin for a boir. Here we see in our Mishnah, Oisin Pasin lebirois, you're allowed to make Pasin for a Be'er. So the Gemara is asking, is our Mishnah arguing with Chananya? Says the Gemara, no, afilo teime Chananya. It could be our Mishnah conforms with Chananya. Boir lechud, ube'er lechud. We'll notice, as we pointed out, our Mishnah is talking about a be'er, which is a well of water that's not going to dry out, or we can assume that it shouldn't dry out. And therefore, we're not worried that people are going to use the area encircled by Pasim when there's no ability of drawing water. And therefore, we allow you to use these pasim to encircle the area with pasim. A boir, which is just a pit of stagnant water, it's very possible it will get emptied, it will dry out, and then there will be no permission to use these pasim to carry in. And people will not realize that, and they might by mistake carry there. And therefore, to avoid that, Chananya said, you're only allowed to encircle an area with a boir, with a pit, with strings, not with pasim. Strings is not Porot Merubah La'oymeid. Pasim is Porot Merubah La'oymeid. So if we can understand there's a difference between boir and be'er, we understand how the Mishnah says you can use Pasim, and Chananya says you cannot use Pasim. That was one version of reading the Mishnah with Chananya. Ikd Amra, there was another version. Mid Loika Toni Chananya, we're starting with Chananya. Chananya said that Chavolin leboir, avoloi lepasim. And Chananya just mentioned boyer. Chananya did not explicitly say only boyer, not be'er. So the Gemara is being medayik according to this version. Mideloi katoni Chananya, oisin chavolim leboyer upasim leboyer. Since he didn't explicitly say that you have to use strings if it's a boyer, but if it's a be'er, if it's live water, if it's a spring water, you're allowed to use pasim, michlal, I can understand from there. De lechananya loishno boyer loishno beir chavolin in pasim loy. We can understand that Chananya, who's speaking about a boyer, it was not only a boyer. It's either a boyer or a beir, and in neither of them you're allowed to use pasim. And then we can ask, Leimu Masnisim Doroika Chananya, and then we have a very legitimate question or assumption. Chananya is arguing with our Mishnah that says explicitly, Oisin Pasin Lebirois. Says the Gemara, no, Afilu Teim Chananya. It could be Chananya agrees that there's a difference between Boir and Ba'ir. And why did Chananya only say that Chavolim Leboir Avaloi Pasim? Why didn't he explicitly say Ba'ir? L'mayde ko'oma Tanakama ko mahadrele. He was responding to the Tanakama. What did the Tanakama say? Oisin Pasin Leboir v'chavolim l'shayora. That you're allowed to use Pasim for a Boir. So Chananya said, you cannot use Pasim for a Boir. But he didn't mean to say that you also cannot use Pasim for Ba'ir. He just wasn't talking about the Ba'ir because the Tanakama were not talking about the Ba'ir. And indeed, in the case of a Ba'ir, you could use Pasim exactly like it says in our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Lema masnisin deloika Rabbi Akiva. Can we assume that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? Ditnan. Echod Ba'ir horabim. Uboir horabim. Uba'ir hayochid. Irrespective of whether it's a Ba'ir of light of spring water, which belongs to the public, or a boir horabim, or just a pit with stagnant water that belongs to the public, ube'er ayochid, or be'er that belongs to a private individual, in all of those oisim lem pasim, we're allowed to make these pasim and rely on pasay birois. Aval boir hayochid, if it's also just a boir of stagnant water, and also it does not belong to the rabim, and if there's a rabim, then if it gets empty, they will remind each other, hey, you can't carry anymore, there's no water in the pit. And it belongs to a yochid, to a private person, and then there'll be nobody to remind anyone, to remind each other, when you're not allowed to use the pasim anymore, if you have both disadvantages, also boir, and also belongs to a yochid, then you have to make a regular mechitza of 10 tvachim high, divir Rebbe Akiva, and you cannot rely on pasim. What do we see from Rebbe Akiva? Rebbe Akiva says that the boir horabim, it has to belong to the public. But even if it's a boir, not just a be'er, even if it's stagnant water, you're allowed to use pasim. Not like our Mishnah that seems to say that you do pasim for a be'er, not for a boir. V'ilu hochen, our Mishnah, k'toni lebirois, is talking about a well with spring water, lebirois in, leboirois loy, as we saw before, that we're assuming that our Mishnah is only talking about a be'er, not a boir. And that seems to contradict Rabbi Akiva, who says that even a boir, providing it belongs to the rabbim, you're allowed to rely on these pasim. Says the Gemara, no, afilu teimer Rabbi Akiva, it could even be Rabbi Akiva, be'er mayim chayim, depsikalei, lo yishno de rabim, velo yishno de yochid ktoni, boir mechunosim, de lo yipsikalei, lo yiketoni. No, it could be that Rabbi Akiva and our Mishnah have the same opinion. And now we're learning that our Mishnah, not like before, now we're saying that birois, when it says oisin pasim le birois, for be'er, a be'er you can always make pasim, irrespective of whether it belongs to the public or if it doesn't belong to the public. And that's why it says oisin pasin lebirois. But the Mishnah will agree that even if it's a boyer, if it belongs to the rabbim, you're allowed to. That's what it means. Be'er ma'im chaim dipsikalei, lo yishno de rabbim, lo yishno de yachid, katoni. Regarding a be'er where it's the halach of oisin pasin lebirois is across the board, any be'er you can do it, irrespective of if it's rabbim, if it's yachid, k'toni, that's what the Mishnah was talking about. Boir, but boir, a regular boir, which is mechunosin, which is stagnant water, delay psikale, it's not always true that you can use pasim, because you can only use the pasim if it belongs to the rabbim. Like k'toni, the Mishnah didn't mention it. But the Mishnah also holds that a boir that belongs to the rabbim, you can do pasim like Rabbi Akiva. And it's not the way we learnt the Mishnah when we're trying to say that the Mishnah is conforming with Chananya's opinion. And all the Gemara here is trying to do is to explain that you cannot bring proof from our Mishnah, from the fact that it says, Pasin lebirois, you cannot bring proof that it's not Chananya, and you cannot bring proof it's not Rebbe Akiva. Continues the Gemara. Leima masnisin deloik Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava. Could it be that our Mishnah is not conforming with the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava? Titnan. We learnt in another Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Oimer, Ein Oisin Pasin Elo Le Be'er horabim birvad. You can only make a, you rely on pasim if it's also be'er and also belongs to the rabim. V'ilu hacha, in our Mishnah, k'toni lebirois, it says, you can always make pasim lebirois, lo yishno de rabim, lo yishno de yochid, irrespective of if it belongs to a public or if it belongs to a private person. And if in the Mishnah says, you can always make pasim lebe'er, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava who says that even a be'er you can only make pasim if it belongs to the rabim. Says the Gemara, no, afilu tamer Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, even according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, we can have a reading in our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, oisin pasin lebirois, birois is in plural tense. We thought it means any type of be'er, irrespective of whether it belongs to a private person or a public person. That's how I've been learning till now. And then we see it's not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. But now the Gemara is suggesting that birois doesn't mean any type of be'er, meaning the, any type of owners, a yochid or a rabbim. It means all be'erois in the world, oisin pasin, providing it belongs to the rabbim, not to a yochid. So the plural tense is not for the types of be'erois, rather for the many be'erois. But they all have to be one type, they have to belong to the rabbim. My birois, birois de alma, all the wells in the world that belong to the rabbim. And then again, we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who can make a reading with our Mishnah without it contradicting his opinion. Now the Gemara is asking one last word. My diyumdin. The term that the Gemara used, is the Mishnah used, was arba diyumdin. What does the word diyumd mean? Omer b'yirmiyah ben Elazar, diyoy amudim, diyoy in Aramaic is two, amudim are posts, a corner posts that has part one side of it facing one direction, and the other side 90 degrees facing another direction is a single corner which is a double post. It's called diyumdin. And now that we've seen a phrase, a memra, a saying from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, we're now going to bring another a list of seven quotes from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. And the simon to remember them is dayoy. Some say it means the dayoy, the diyumdin we just saw now also, but not only, we're about to see there's another dew that he's going to speak about. Lemenuda, shevach, zunis, niskalkil, b'mido, shloisha. And if you look in the Vilna Gaon on the side in Agar Sagra, he has it a bit differently. Diu is one, that's the same. He doesn't say le menuda, he says menuda. Shevach is the same. He doesn't say zunis. He says instead of zunis, he says yoina. And then the Vilna Gaon adds in another two, bayis and shtei, because the Vilna Gaon saw in the Gemara that there's actually another couple of quotes. And then instead of niskalkil, he changes it to niskalil. And then b'mido is the same, and Shloisha is the same, that's a simon. It's printed in Shas, even though we don't know exactly what the simon, what the deeper messages behind this simon are. There are Sfarim that explain it, but the simon is there to help us remember. It's printed in Shas, and one has to read it and learn it. And now we're going to see the seven quotes from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Tnan Hosom, we learnt in a Mishnah regarding the halachas of Demai. We've already seen, what is demai? Demai means that do mai, which is this what? We don't know the status of fruits and vegetables that are bought from an Am Haaretz, and we don't know, did he take all the trumas and maestros in the way he should or not? And therefore the halacha is that under normal circumstances, one should take the trumas and maestros. Again, there's a whole masechta in Seder Zeroim called demai, with many halachas. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol hashitin pturin. Any types of wild figs, poor quality figs, pturim, one is potter from having to take trumas and maestros, even if we acquire them from an Am Haaretz, since they are so cheap and very almost no loss to the Am Haaretz, there's no reason that the Am Haaretz should refrain from taking the necessary trumas and maestros. We can take it for granted he took all the trumas and maestros. Chutz min adyofra, those types of shittin, those types of wild figs, which are called dyofra, there, they do have the halachas of demai, because over there, they are a little bit more valuable, they're more expensive type of figs, And we have reason to believe that the Amoraites he wanted to save himself those figs, and therefore did not take the necessary trumas and maestras. Asks the Gemara, my dioifra, what is dioifra, which is this more expensive, the higher quality type of fig? Oma'ula, ilon ha'oise dioi peirois b'shono. If dioi, like we saw before, dioi means two, a type of fig tree that produces figs twice a year, dioi peira, dioifra, produces fruits twice a year, that type of fig tree is more valuable, and therefore the halachas of demai apply. And this was not a halacha to do with Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elozo, it was just another halacha of dioi, of two. But now we're going to have the phrase, the first one of these seven halachas, of these seven quotes from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elozo, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elozo, dioi paratzuf ponim hoyu loy le'odom rishon. We know that Odom Rishon, Hashem first created Odom Rishon. And then the Pasuk says at some point, Hashem removed a tzela, a bone, a side. Tzela means a side. Took something of Odom Rishon and built it up to create Chava. That's what it says explicitly in the Psukim. The question was, what was before? What was after? Did Hashem create Odom as having a double paratzuf? A paratzuf is a face, is a figure, is a human figure, a facial figure. So was Odom Rishon created with a double figure? That means he was back to back with Chava, and they were one being, but they were two figures that were attached together, and then Hashem separated them. Is that what happened, or no? Was Odom created one paratzuf with some type of a tzela, some type of an extension? We'll soon see what it is. And then Hashem removed that and made Chava from that side, from that tzela. That's going to be the discussion here. So Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elozo says, "Du paratzuf ponim hoyolei Odom Rishon." Odom Rishon, he had two facial figures. Och shenem, as it says in the pasuk. In Tehillim, Ochir Vakedim Tzaratoni. The word Tzaratoni is a tzura, it was a form. Odom Rishon, when he was first formed, he was formed with a form at the front and a form at the back. Ochir means from the back, and Ponim means, Vakedim means from the front. Ochir Vakedim Tzaratoni. He had a tzura, he had a form on both sides. So you see that Du Paratzufim. So this is the first quote that we're seeing from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elozo, due to, he's telling us Odom Rishon had two forms when he was first created. Ksiv says in the Pasuk, now we're going to discuss this. The Pasuk says, Vayiven Hashem Elukim es Atzela, when Hashem removed the side of Odom Rishon, he built it up to create Chava. And there was a Machlekes, Rav Shmuel, Chad Omar, one of the two held Paratzuf, that this Chava, this Tzela, she was a paratzuf, she was a figure even before she was removed. And then we have to understand what Zimin Vayiven, the Gemara is going to discuss it. What was built up, if she was already built up and she was just removed. The Chad Omar, the other opinion says, Zonov, a type of a tail, so to speak, was attached to Adam Rishon, and that side, that extension called Zonov, is what Hashem removed from Adam Rishon, and from there he built up Chava. And the Gemara explains, Bishleim lemandoma paratzuf, according to the opinion that says that Chava was a paratzuf right from the beginning, Adam Rishon had two paratzufim, Hainu dechsev, we can understand, Ochir vokedem tzartoni, that he had a form at the front and a form at the back. Elo lemando amazonov, according to the opinion that he did not have that second form, it was just a type of a zonov, my ochir vekedim tzartoni. What type of form did Odom Rishon have at the back? He didn't have a form, he just had a zonov. Answers the Gemara Kedar of Ami. Rav Ami says, you're right. He only had one form. When it says ochir vekedim tzartoni, then that you formed me from the front and from the back, it doesn't mean that Odom had two forms, a form at the front, a form at the back. No. It means that you created me with the tchuna, with a certain property called ochir, and a property called Ponim. That means the one parts of you created it with a Ocher property and a Ponim property. There's something about front and something about back. And now we're saying that back doesn't mean behind, back means the last. There's something about Odom which was Ponim, which was first, and there's something about Odom that was last. The Omer of Ami, Ocher l'maisa bereishis. Odom was created last in creation. That was 6 days of creation. The whole world was created. And right at the end, Odom was created. So that means he was created with being an end. That's the Ocher. And Vekedem, what part of Odom is first? Lupuronius. When misfortune happens, even though animals were created before Odom, but when misfortune happens, it will happen first to man and only afterwards to the animals. So the Gemara explains, Bishleim Ocher L'maisa Bereishis, we can understand that he was created with this property of being a last. He was created last, that was a fact. Chronologically speaking, the last being to be created was man. Delo Ibri Ad Maile Shabsi, he was only created on Erev Shabbos. Elo Vokedem L'Poronio Ismahi, what does it mean that when misfortune falls, that Odom is the first? Where do we see that? Ilema Mishum Klola, are you talking about that when he got the curse, when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, that he was the first one to get the curse? It's not true. Habetchilo Niskalil Nochosh, the snake was cursed before Adam. Ulubasoif, and after the snake, Niskalil Chava. Chava was cursed, and only afterwards Ulubasoif Niskalil Adam. So you see that Adam was the last one to get the curse. It cannot be that Kedem, being a first, is referring to the curse after he ate the Eitz Hadas. Elol Mabul, it's talking about when the creation was destroyed in the flood. Then over there it says, Vayimach es kol hayikum, then Hashem, he blotted out all of existence, Ashal pnei Adoma, that was on the face of the earth, me Odom ad behemos, starting with man and finishing with animal. So you see that at least when the Pasuk speaks about the beings that were destroyed, at the flood, man was mentioned first and only afterwards animal. And now the Gemara is continuing with this machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. Was Odom Rishon a double paratzuf, or was he just a single paratzuf? Bishlei Meleman de Omar paratzuf. According to the opinion that says that Od Chava was a full figure, even before she was separated, and Odom Rishon was first made as a double figure. Hainu dechsiv vayitzer. When Hashem created man, it uses the term vayitzer, and he formed, and the word vayitzer, and he formed, train yudin, has two yuds in it, so to speak, to tell us that there was a double form. It's a plural type of form. Elo lemando amazonov, according to the opinion that says that Adam was created a single form, just that he had a zonov, that later became Chava, my vayitzer. Then what's the extra yud telling us in the word vayitzer? Answers the Gemara, Kadrib Shimon ben Pazi. Reb Shimon ben Pazi asked this question. The Omer Reb Shimon ben Pazi, he says that when Odom was created, and he was the first of creations that was created with Bechira, free choice. Having free choice means you have Hashem to listen to on one side, you have the Yetzer Hara who's pulling you to the other side. And Odom said, Oili miyitzri, woe to me because of my evil inclination. Oili miyotzri, woe to me from my creation. I can only ever make any one of them happy. I can either make my yotzer, my creator, happy, or I can make my yetzer, my even inclination, happy. I can never make them both happy at the same time. So that's vayitzer. Adam Harishon was created with, so to speak, with two powers, so to speak, that were dominating him, Hashem and the Yetzer Hara. And we have free choice to make sure to make the right choices. So continues the Gemara. Bishlei Meleman Do'ama Paratzuf, according to the opinion that says that Adam Rishon was a double form, Hainu Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Zohar Unakeva Bura Om. When I first created them in plural, I created them, plural, Zohar Unakeva, male and female, because Hashem created Odom as a double figure, a man at the front, a woman at the back. Elo lemando amazonov, according to the opinion that says that Chava was never a form, was never a figure before she was separated. And when Hashem first created man, it was only Adam. L'mando Amazonov, my Zohar in the cave of Baram. What does it mean? He created them, man and woman. Answers the Gemara, look at Rabavo. The Omer Rabavo Romi. Rabavo actually asked a contradiction, a seeming contradiction, in the Psukim. Ksiv, in one place it says, Zohar in the cave of Baram. He created them, male and female. Which would seem to be that Hashem created the two forms, the two figures, simultaneously at the same time. Uchsivan is another pasuk that says, Ki betzelem Elohim bara oisoi, that he created Adam with a tzelem, with a single tzelem, with a single form, seeming to be that it was only Adam and Chava was just a mere zonov, she was not a fully formed figure. How did he explain it? Bitchila also b'machshava livrei shnaim, that when Hashem first intended and he planned the creation of man, he planned that they would be two. And that's indeed how we have it today. They were separated, they were two. That means as far as the initial plan was, it was already planned from the start, they would be two. That's what it means, Zohar Nekeva Bera Om. It doesn't mean I actually created them as two. It means I intended them to be two. And therefore, even according to the opinion that says Zonov, he intended them to become two at a later point. But whilst when he actually created them, he created them one, and this is true both according to the opinion that says it was one paratuf or two paratuf him. Either way, they were not separate figures, they were either just one figure with a zonov, or they were two figures that were merged, and later Hashem separated them to make them into two figures, because that's what Hashem initially planned, is that they should be two distinct and individual beings. Continues the Gemara, according to the opinion that says that Chava was a fully formed figure even before she was separated. That's what it says. After Hashem removed this tzela, this side of Adam, then he filled its place with flesh. So we can understand that. There was a whole figure back to back attached to Adam. Hashem severed the two, a splitting Chava from Adam. Now there was a raw opening on the whole back of Adam. Hashem replaced it with flesh. We can understand that. Elolamando Amrazonov, according to the opinion who says that the part of Adam from which Chava was formed was just a zonov. What does it mean? Vayiskor boso tachteno, that Hashem in its place filled up with flesh. There was no place. It was just a little tail. Says the Gemara, Omer Bzvid. It's a question of who said it, but the answer is, even if it was just a tail, the place where it was removed, that place had to be replaced with flesh, and that's what it's talking about. Continues the Gemara, and now we're going back to a pasuk that we started with. According to the opinion who says that Chava, before she became Chava, was just a zonov, a little extension of Adam Rishon, Hainu Dechsiv Vayiven. Then we can understand that after Hashem removed the side of Adam to become Chava, He built her up, because it was just a cell, it was just a zonov. Hashem had to build up the zonov and create a human figure from it. Elo Lemandoma Paratov, but the opinion who says that right from the start Chava was a fully formed figure attached to Adam, which Hashem removed it, Mai Vayiven. What had to be built up? She was already built from the start. She just had to be removed. Answers the Gemara, look at Reb Shimon ben Menasya. The Dorish Reb Shimon ben Menasya, Vayiven Hashem Elohim es Atzela. It doesn't mean that Pasuk says Hashem built up the side. It doesn't mean he created a human figure from the side. No, he took the human figure of the side and he did an act of building to it. That means even though she was already a human figure, there was something that was done to her that was an extended building. What was that? Melamed shekil'o HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Chava, Hashem braided Chava's hair, v'hivya l'Adam Rishon, and that way, with a plaited, braided hair, Hashem brought Chava in front of Adam, showed Chava to Adam. Shekein b'krochei hayam, in the cities out at sea, they call koirin l'kli'asa, Bni Yasa. They call a braided, something braided, they call it Bin Yasa, they call it a type of a building of a figure. So you see that Vayiven doesn't mean he created the humanness of her form. No, he braided her hair, and that was a building that was done to her. Dava Achir. Another explanation of what could Hashem have done to an already existing human figure that's called building. Omer of Chizda. V'omri lo b'masnita tana. It was either a braisa or Rav Chizda. Melameid shebon'o HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chava. Hashem built Chava kabinyan. That means when she was first attached to Adam Rishon, Hashem hadn't done this yet. When he separated Chava from Adam, at that point, Hashem did this building. Kabinyan. He formed her like a building. And what type of binyan? Kabinyan oitzer. An oitzer is a storehouse, and the storehouse has a very unique type of shape. Ma oitzer ze, in the same way as this storehouse, v'rochov milamato v'kotzer milamalo, in order that the fruits and all the produce inside the storehouse should not put too much pressure onto the walls of the storehouse, then it would have a very wide base, and it would get narrower as it gets to the top, in order that the wider base will be able to contain the fruits that you want to store in the storehouse, kedei lekabel es haperis, in order to contain the produce. For Isha, so to the woman, Rechava milamata uktzora milamailo, even though right at the top it's very narrow, but the womb gradually gets wider in order to be able to contain a child. If it would be very narrow at the bottom of the womb, then the child would not be able to form there. So Hashem, at that point, after he separated Chava from Adam, Hashem created her womb in such a way that the widest part of the womb is lowest down, kedei lekabel es havlad, in order to contain a child. And that's what it means, vayiven, that's what Hashem did to Chava when he separated her. And what does it say after that? After Hashem built up Chava, vayivieho el Adam, he brought her to Adam. He didn't just let Chava find her way to Adam, finish the operation, go find your husband. Hashem brought her, escorted her to Adam. What do we see from here? That Hashem became a shushvin. A shushvin is literally translated as a friend, as somebody who's helping to be mesameach, to make a chosn and the kala happy, and to escort the kala to the chosn. And Hashem did this. He made the arrangements for the chasna, for the wedding. Mikan, from here you see le godil, even a very prominent person, sheyase sheshvinus lekotn, he should be the shushvin, the friend making, taking care of the chasna, even for somebody of much lower stature than him, valyer aloy, and it should not disturb him, because you see that even Hashem himself, the creator of world, the creator himself, he escorted Chava to Adam. Continues the Gemara, ulamando oma parutzuf. According to the opinion that when Adam was first created, he was created with a double figure, a double form. One side of him was Adam, and the back, the other side, was Chava. Hai minayu sagi bereisha. Who was the one that was walking forwards, and who was the one that was dragging behind? Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, mistabra de zochar sagi bereisha. It makes sense, it's logical, that the male was the one that was leading, was walking ahead. D'tanya, the Braisa says, Lo yehalich Adam achiri isha baderech. A person should not walk behind a woman when walking. V'afilu hi ishta, even if it's his own wife. Nizdamnu ala gesher. What happens if a woman happened to be in front of him when he's crossing a bridge? Yisalkeno letzdodim, he should try and overtake her. He should pass her as quickly as he can in order to walk in front of the woman and not behind the woman. V'chol ha'oivir achire isha b'nohor. Somebody who passes behind a woman as she's wading through a river, and this is not talking about if it's his wife, it's talking about if it's somebody else's wife. Ein lechelek la'olam habo, he loses his portion in the world to come. Tonu rabbonon, we learned in a braisa, hamaratze. Hamartze mois leisha miyodoi leyodo. If somebody is counting out woman and giving it from his hand, passing it directly into her hand as you're counting the coins. Oy mi yodoi lo yodo. Oh, he's taking it from her hand directly into his hand. Bishvil she istakil bo, and he's doing this in order to gaze at her, to have an opportunity to gaze at her. Even if this person is comparable to Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah at Sinai, lo yinoke medina shel Gehenem, he's not going to be freed from Gehenem, from the judgment of Gehenem. And to this type of person, the pasuk says, yod leyod, hand to hand, lo yinoke, ra will not be freed from evil, which means yod le yod, if you pass from your hand to her hand or from her hand to your hand with the intention of gazing at her, then lo yinoke ra, lo yinoke medina shel Gehenem, you're not going to be freed from this evil, which is the judgment of Gehenem. Omer of Nachman, a related issue. Monoyach ha'am ha'oretz hayo. Monoyach, who was the father of Shimshon, and he was following his wife. He was an Am Ha'oretz. That's what Rav Nachman takes on, that he was an Am Ha'oretz. He was an ignorant man. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayokom Vayelech Monoyach Achiri Ishtay, it says that Monoyach arose and he followed his wife. He clearly hadn't learnt that one should not follow, one should not walk behind a woman, even if it's his own wife. He's not learnt, he's an ignorant person, he was an Am Ha'oretz. Maskeflor Rav Nachman by Yitzhak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok asks a question on this, on Rav Nachman. And you see here that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok and Rav Nachman are two different people. Elam me'ata, according to what you're saying now, gabe Elkono. We know that the holy Elkono, d'chsiv, that it says, v'yelech Elkono achrei ishto, it says that Elkono followed his wife. Hochanami, are you going to suggest that he was an Am Ha'aretz? Chas v'shalom, how can you say such a thing? V'gabe Elisha, the Novi Elisha, also, d'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, Vayokom Vayelech Achareo, he arose and he followed her. Also, he went behind a woman. You're suggesting he was an Am Ha'aretz? Chas v'shalom to say such a thing, Hochanami? It can't be. Elo Acharei Dvoreo V'atzoso. And it says Acharei, it doesn't mean he was following behind her. It meant he was following her words, he was following her advice. So, if so, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, even Monoyach, when it says that Vayokom Vayelech Monoyach Acharei Ishtoi, it doesn't mean he was following behind his wife, it meant he was following his wife's advice. Hochanami Acharei Dvoreo V'atzoso. You have no source to say that Monoyach was an Am Ha'aretz. He didn't walk behind his wife. Omer Vashi, Ulmai de Omer of Nachman, Monoyach Am Ha'aretz Hayo, according to Rav Nachman, who held that Monoyach was walking behind his wife because he was an ignorant person, not only was he an ignorant person, Afilo Beirav Nami Loikoro, he hadn't even learned the psukim that young children learn in school. Dechsiv Vatokom Rivka, that Rivka rose, Venari Seho, with her maidens, Vatir Kavno, Alagmalim, and they were riding on the camels, Vatilachno Achri Hoish, and they were proceeding after behind the man, which was Eliezer. Voloilifneoish, and not in front of man. So you see explicitly that it's appropriate for a woman not to be in front of a man. Omer of Yechanan, another related quote, Achire Ari Voloi Achire Isha. One, it's better to walk behind a lion than to walk behind a woman. Achirei isha, it's better to walk behind a woman, v'lo achirei avodas kichovim, and not to walk behind an avodah zara, an idol. Achirei avodas kichovim, v'lo achirei beis hakneses b'shoah shemespalelim. It's true that if you walk behind an idol, you may get attracted to the idol. It's a risk, and therefore try and avoid it. But better to walk behind a woman and make sure that your mind stays in the right place. But if the other option is to walk behind a shul at the time where people are davening, and to walk behind it and not go into the shul, it looks as if you're being a koifer, as if you couldn't care about Hashem that they're davening to, that's the worst. And therefore, achire v'idiz kechovim, rather go behind an idol, v'loy achire b'isakneses b'shoshem espalelim, but do not walk behind a shul when people are davening there. And now we're moving to the next quote of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. V'omar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Kol Oison Hashonim, all those years, Shehoya Odom Rishon Bnidui, that Odom Rishon, so to speak, was excommunicated, he was in a type of a ban as a punishment for having eaten from the Eitz Hadas, from the fruits that he was not allowed to eat. Hoylid Ruchin V'Sheidin V'Lilin. Then he, so to speak, gave birth to all sorts of evil koichas. One is called Ruchin, one's called Sheidin, one's called Lilin. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayichi Odom Shloishim U'Ma'as Shono, that Odom Rishon lived 130 years, Vayoyled Bidmusay Kitzalmoy, and only then he gave birth to human beings, to people that were like him and in the same image as him. Michlal, so we can, it's implied from there, De'adu Idna, until that point, for 130 years, Lav Bitzalmoy Olid, his children, those things that he gave birth to were not physical beings in the image of Adam Rishon. What were they? Ruchin, Sheidim, Velilin. Asks the Gemara Meisvei, Hoyo Reb Meir Oimer. Reb Meir says, Adam Rishon Chosid Godel Hoyo. Adam Rishon was a very, very pious person. Kiven Sherosh Sheniknes Omisa Al Yodei, when he saw that the death penalty had been given to man and to all of existence because of him, because he ate from the forbidden fruits, Yoshav Betainis Meo Shloshim Shona, he actually fasted for 130 years, Upirish Mina Isha, and he stayed apart from his wife, Meo Shloshim Shona, 130 years. Vehelo Zorze Ta'inim, and he took a belt made of fig branches, and he wore them al-basoroi on his skin, me'o shloshim shono, for 130 years, and that was very uncomfortable. He did that as self-inflicting pain in order to atone for the avera that he did. And if he stayed away from his wife and had no relationship with his wife, then how could he have given birth? It doesn't matter to what. But how can you have a child? It doesn't matter if it's ruchin, sheidin, velilin, if you don't have a wife, if you're not having any relationships with your wife. Answers the Gemara, Kika omrino nahu b'shichva zera dechoza le'onsei. It's not talking about typical birth consequent to having a relationship with his wife. It's talking about the shichva zera that came out of him involuntarily. It happened over the 130 years, and from those bits, those little bits of shichva zera, these forms, the ruchin, sheidin, velilin, were created. Continues the Gemara, another quote from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Va'omer Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Miktsas shvochei shel odom oimim lefonov. When praising a person in front of him, one should only mention part of a person's praise, not all of it. V'kulei shelei befonov. But when you're praising him in his absence, then you can praise him fully. Where do we see this from? Miktsas shvochei befonov. Where do we see that in front of a person you should only give partial praise? When Hashem was speaking directly to Noach, he said, I've seen you to be a tzaddik, to be righteous before me in this generation. He only mentioned the term tzaddik. But when you're in the absence of a person, you should say all his praise. It says in the Pasuk, when Hashem was talking about Noach, but not to Noach, it says, Noach ish tzaddik tomim. Not only was he a righteous person, he was a tzaddik, and he was tomim, he was perfect. Hoyo b'dereisov in his generations, Hashem added on the added praise of tomim, that he was perfect, he was sholim. Another teaching from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, v'om Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, ma'i dichsiv, when it says in the Pasuk, v'hinei alei zayis torof b'fiha, the dove, when it came back to Noach, after it had been away to search for some dry land, it came back and it plucked an olive leaf, and he brought that back to he brought it back to Noach, and this was a sign that someplace, somewhere, there must be trees already growing. What was he trying to allude to by bringing specially the leaf of an olive? Omro Yoino lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The dove, meant to say to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Hashem, Master of the World, Yiyu mezaynoisai merurin kezayis, I rather my food is as bitter as an olive, umesurim biyodecho, but I should feel totally dependent and reliant only on you, v'aliyu masukin kedvash, rather than having food that is sweet as honey, utluyim bidyad odom, and I should be dependent on mortal flesh and blood, on a person, like the yoin had been till now. He had been in the teva, and he was relying on noach. And now the Yoina came back with a message saying, I'd rather eat bitter food and be dependent on Hashem rather than be dependent on man. Where do we see that food, where do we see that in this posuk of Ali Zayis Torof Befiu, where do we see that he's alluding to sustenance? Because it says, Ksiv Hocha Torof, the posuk says that he brought back Ali Zayis Torof Befiu. So normally Torof means it was plucked away. From the word trefa, it was plucked away. And that's the literal translation of the word. Ksiv ha chatorof, ksiv ha som, and in another pasuk it says, hatrifeini lechem chuki, feed me my portion of bread. The word torof can also mean to feed me. So you see clearly that the word torof means food, and therefore the Yoina was trying to tell Hashem, I'd rather have teref, I'd rather have the food bitter, but from you, rather than from sweet and having to rely on man. And now the Gemara continues with another quote from Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. V'omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, kol bayis shenishmoyim boi divrei Torah balayla, any home that the words of Torah are heard in it in the night, shuv einu nechrav, will never be destroyed. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'lo omar aye eloya oisoi. And he will not say, he does not say, where is Hashem, my creator? Who will never have to ask, where's Hashem? Who will never be in that type of stress? Noisein zmirois balayla, somebody who gives song at night, referring to the words of Torah, which are compared to a song. Continues the Gemara, another quote from Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. V'omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, miyoyim shechorav beis hamikdash, from the time that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, dayoy la'oilom sheyishtamish b'shtei oisiyos. The world, it's enough for the world to use two of the four letters of Hashem's name. We know that Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei, and after the beis hamikdash was destroyed, only the first two letters, Yud Kei, are used as Hashem's name, but the full name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which was used in the Beis HaMikdash and was read in the way it was written, that does not happen after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Kol HaNeshama Tehalil Ka Haleluka, that all souls are going to praise Hashem. The only one of Hashem's names that are used is one that all souls are allowed to use, and that's the Shem Ka, the first two letters of Hashem's name, and to the exclusion of a name that's not allowed to be used by all souls. It was only allowed to be used by the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. After the Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have that. Continues the Gemara, another quote from Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. V'omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, niskalelo bovel niskalelu shcheineo. When Bovel was cursed, then its neighbors were also cursed. Niskalelo shomrin. When Shomrin was cursed, Nizborchu Shcheineo, then its neighbors were blessed. The neighbors of Shomrin is the north of Eretz Yisrael. Niskalelo Bovel, Niskalelu Shcheineo. Where do we find that when Bovel got cursed, its neighbors also got cursed? Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, V'samtiha lemoireish kipoid v'agmi moim. I will make her, referring to Bovel, an estate of wild birds and pools of water. Bekitza, what it means is that wild animals are going to inhabit the wasteland of Bovel, and these wild animals are also going to disturb and destroy the neighboring places of Bovel. Niskalelo Shomrin Nizborchu Shcheineo. Where do we see that when Shomrin was cursed, its neighbors, referring to the north of Eretz Yisrael, are blessed? The Chassivit says in the pasuk, "V'samti Shomrin le'i hasadeh." I will make Shomrin like a heap in a field, le'matoi kerem, a place for planting vineyards. That after Shomrin was destroyed, then Shomrin itself became very fertile land, and these fertile lands became a blessing for the neighboring places, namely the north of Eretz Yisrael. And in Miritz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here the next quotes of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar.